Every Woman is a feminist show about women making a difference and the men by their side. As 50% of the world's population and 52% of eligible U.S. voters, women are not a special interest group, and every woman should work and vote toward nothing less than 50-50 participation in social, political, economic, and environmental arenas. The opinions and views expressed on Every Woman are those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent those of the KKFI board, staff, volunteers, or sponsors of KKFI and the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Ebony Johnson. I am here with Amy Bell live the Saturday before Election Day. Sharon Lockhart is out today. Hi, Sharon. I'm sure you may be listening to us, but we're going to hold it down today without our mother here, so to speak, Amy.
Well, and we are recognizing that the big day is coming up, Election yeah. Day, this Tuesday. And we're going to open up the lines today mm-hmm. to kind of get a community feel of where are we at this point? How do you feel about this? Are you ready for it to be over? Mm-hmm. Are you excited? Are you nervous?
All of those things.
All of the above. Mm-hmm. It's time to kind of really just take a breath and recognize that this is coming up. And how do we feel about that? So our in-studio number is 816-931-5534. But first I'm going to read a little bit of news. Pope Francis made some definitive comments on the topic of women in the Catholic Church this week. Often seen as wanting to overturn the conservative thrust of recent pontificates, Francis has shown himself to be squarely on the side of Pope John Paul II and Benedict XVI when it comes to women's ordination. "The final word is clear," he said Tuesday when asked about women's ordination during an in-flight press conference returning from Sweden. It was said by St. John Paul II, and this remains. "Forever?" the journalist asked. "Never, ever?" If we carefully read the declaration of St. John Paul II, it goes in that direction. "Yes," Francis replied. Surveys show most Americans are stressed out about the election. In late October, the American Psychological Association released a survey that found 52% of American adults say the 2016 election is somewhat significant or very significant, source of stress in their lives, regardless of whether they're Republican or Democrat. Another recent ABC News poll reported that women were more likely than men to report election-related stress. 51% of women reported having stress over the election, while just 39% of men felt the same way. That says a lot. So women are more stressed than men about this election. I wonder why that is. So if anybody's stressed about the election, 816-931-5534. Share your story with us.
Yeah.
So last week I had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C., and it was the first time I had visited our nation's capital. And I really was shocked by just how beautiful and amazing the Capitol is. It just makes you feel very proud to be American. It's got this very, this grandeur that just feels so powerful. And the people are walking around and everybody's, it just seems so for us. This is ours. This belongs to us. But then you also see like all the closed doors and like no real people beyond this point. Mm-hmm. And that other side of the narrative is very real too, that you know, maybe our government isn't quite as accessible as we wish it was. Maybe it is more accessible than a lot of other governments, but then the grandeur and the spectacle, and me being me thinking, is this was this more planned? Is this propaganda? Is this part of the state narrative that is being ingrained in us? So it was a very interesting experience.
Yeah.
It's different from looking at pictures. I was very, I'm glad to have gotten to visit it finally.
Yeah.
And while I was there, I got to meet Ralph Nader, who, I have to admit I was not a big fan of, but he gave a really fantastic speech. He talked about how young people were risk averse, and that was largely manufactured on purpose. And he kind of tied in our increasing student loan debt to our fear of taking risks with our career.
Yeah.
And that we were very ingrained in the system because we did not feel secure enough in our private finances to really try to shake up the system like other generations have, and that they've kind of, and that our schools haven't protected us from that. It was a very interesting perspective that really did kind of ring true, because how would you fight a system that you depended on so strongly.
Yeah.
It was a very...
And it's hard. I mean, we know that just being human, it's hard to... It can be a tearing feeling to want to be active and involved in all of these different things that we care about sometimes. And then at the same time, speaking of stress, having just day-to-day stress of, I've got to be able to provide for myself and, you know, have a living and eat and, you know, somewhere to sleep, kind of the basic needs. That is a good discussion to have. And I'm glad that he brought it up and you were a part of it.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess that takes you back to how do you vote yourself into a better position? Can we vote ourselves into a better position at this point? Are the millennials so disenfranchised that we don't have enough power in the electorate yet to get some of these changes? I know sometimes they pay lip service to dealing with the cost of education.
Yeah.
But really, this speech really hit home to me what we do lose as an entire society, that our young people are burdened so heavily with debt.
Yeah.
It really has taken away our opportunity for progress.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't have people secure enough to take those risks, to do that next level step, to challenge the structures that are in place, how do we progress as a nation? And is that why maybe we're not making as much progress as we think we should have by now? I mean, oftentimes we say, oh my goodness, it's 2016.
Right.
Why are we still doing X, Y, and Z?
Have the same issues over and over. Yeah. That it you speaking about your trip to D.C. reminds me of my first time that I went, which was when President Barack Obama got inaugurated for the first time. And yeah, so
you
it
were
was
at the,
so, yeah.
You were
yeah,
at the inauguration.
Yeah, it was so funny because I had... Well, that was my first time going to, well, not going to D.C., but going to see the nation's capital. And I just remember feeling so patriotic. And there were so many people that were outside. My younger sister and I were there, and we were there. I forget what time. It was like wee hours in the morning that day, or like kind of almost night, the night before in a way. And there were so many people, but people were singing and people were dancing, and we were all there as a part of history. And it just really, it was a good feeling. And I remember it being cold, and I remember saying, but I'm not moving. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to get out of this line. I'm going to stand here. I'm like, this is what I came for. I'm so excited about this. And it was really a monumental moment. Very much so, especially for me, because that was the first time that I had campaigned for someone, like actively, like I was really active in, calling and knocking on doors and getting people registered to vote. And so to see it come full circle and for him to actually win and for me to actually go and see him get inaugurated was a really great experience, especially when I think sometimes, we can say as young people, it's like, well, oh, well, you're doing all this, but is your person really going to win? Or what, you know, what's really going to happen? And for it all to pan out that way, it was amazing.
Oh, and is your person even worth it?
Yeah.
We had a conversation right before the show started today where I was reflecting on 2008 and mm-hmm. how disappointed I was in what happened with Hillary Clinton's campaign mm-hmm. and what a big supporter I was of Hillary Clinton in 2008. And I was like, you know, I just thought that Barack Obama wasn't at the right time. It wasn't the right time for Barack mm-hmm. Obama because he was so young and untested. And I mean, I liked him, and we do. We just have these, I don't know. It's never perfect.
Yeah.
It's never perfect.
Yeah, and that's something to accept, isn't it? To work to accept, I guess, in some ways. But then at the same time, that's what I feel like keeps us moving forward. And
right.
Because we want and believe that things can be better. But I don't know. We'll see. This election is, I feel all of the above when you, what you talked about earlier, Amy. I'm ready for it to be over. But at the same time, I just feel everything about it. I'm interested to see who's actually going to win, what's really going to happen. A lot of things, but it's interesting. So Kansas City, if you're listening and you'd like to call in and share, voice your vote and share your thoughts and feelings about this coming election on Tuesday, give us a call. Amy, tell me that number.
816-931-5534. You know, all opinions welcome too. We have we have a pretty diverse audience, and we like to hear diverse opinions. I know we've heard from some Libertarian supporters. We've heard mm-hmm. some Green Party supporters. We've even heard from a Trump supporter, I believe.
Mm-hmm. We have.
Don't be shy if you're a Trump supporter. We're fine with that too.
Yeah. It's all good either way. That was my, this year has been my first time looking even into a Green Party candidate when we did our interview with Jill Stein. And so that was a first time experience and something that I was very grateful for to have that experience and have her come to KKFI and listen to the Green Party platform. So I feel like even now I'm expanding my sense of political arena and what's taking place, and even my feel for kind of blowing up, if you will, the two-party system and making way for something new. And I do believe we have a caller. What's your
Hello,
name and where you're calling from?
Hello.
Hi, can you state your name?
Hi.
And where you're calling from?
This is Jack and Shawnee.
Hi Jack.
Good afternoon. Yeah, back Bernie. I went to all the rallies for Bernie and in Kansas, door to door for Bernie and everything. And I hoped he would win. But I voted for Jill Stein. I advanced voted for Jill Stein. It was really gut wrenching because I realized Jill can't win, but I just couldn't bring myself to vote for Hillary Clinton. But I'm not saying that others shouldn't mm-hmm. vote for her, but it's a personal decision on my part. But I did vote for Jill. I think that'll make a statement and get the Democrats' attention next time around. But that's the way I would run it. And I hope it all works out the best for everyone.
Yeah. Jack, if you don't mind my asking, is this your first time voting for a third-party candidate?
Yes. I like you, I back Barack Obama. I, like you, canvassed door-to-door and put up signs in yards and everything trying to get Barack elected president. And I was thrilled that he did get elected. But frankly, I was disappointed after he did get elected that he was so far to the right mm-hmm. on many issues that I felt like he had a mandate when he first got in to do some things for the people, mm-hmm. You know, increase Social Security and to take care of the bankers, put the bankers in jail, and distribute the wealth a bit, you know, so much wealth inequality. But he could have done all that. He had the power to do it, but he didn't. I think it was a wasted opportunity.
Well, you know, we didn't talk about it at the time, but Ebony, were you a Bernie supporter too?
I was. And then just kind of like you, I was supporting him because I did believe in just the platform that he was talking about and just shaking things up. Which was really kind of the undergird for me with Bernie. And because I feel like we need to do that, just like you're saying, Jack, as well.
Yeah, and I like his message, hope and change everything. And I like him personally. I think he's a real cool customer. He's obviously a nice fellow and very cool under pressure. But I was just disappointed that when he got in, he had the power. He did not do what he could have done for the people. So, but I wish him well anyway.
Well, thanks for calling. I think
thank you.
I think a lot of our listeners would agree with you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, and you know, we've had Jill Stein on the show twice. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of her detractors have been unfair. Mm-hmm. You know, they've tried to peg her as being a little bit of a kooky person, mm-hmm. and a radical. I mean, the truth is she's a Harvard-educated doctor. Mm-hmm. And I found her to be a really thoughtful, interesting, kind-hearted woman, mm-hmm. and I really liked her personally. Now that's not who I voted for.
Yeah,
but I do really like her as a person. I really like her as a human being, mm-hmm. and I know that a lot of our listeners probably made that decision to go green this year.
Yeah,
and one thing that Jack talked about was that he liked Bernie because Bernie was shaking up the system. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering how many Bernie supporters out there find Trump to be a good option for those very same reasons.
Wow.
I know a lot of people in America, the government just is not working for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much that Donald Trump really has the answers, is that Donald Trump is not going to perpetuate the same systems that have gotten America to the point where they're at right now.
Yeah, yeah. I had, before this show, we were talking, and I mentioned I had a family member that just, he said that he just couldn't vote for a woman, even though he was Democratic. Democratic, and just his ingrained religious beliefs. And so it was interesting, his take, which he ended up voting Libertarian this time for the first time, because neither, you know, did he want to vote for Donald Trump. But I feel like this election, there is, speaking to that stress again, a lot of people may feel torn more than, I don't know if I want to say more than ever, but I do feel like a lot of people are probably really torn with, well, I want a significant change, or I want something to be different. I was watching something on CNN, and this man said he couldn't believe that this is where we were with these two choices. And, you know, for him, he didn't like either choice. And so it just makes me wonder even more, well, what will be the result of the third party candidates once the election concludes?
You know, the other thing that I found interesting about what you said there is that family members, for some reason, are perfectly comfortable looking a woman in the eye and saying, mm-hmm. people like you are not capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that too from mm-hmm. family members. And it was a struggle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I looked one of them in the eye and said, are you saying that I couldn't be president?
Yeah.
Well, no, of course you could be president, you know.
Yeah. Do you realize what you're saying? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, did you experience that same thing when Barack Obama was running for president? Did you run into people who said, a black man can't be president?
I can't say that someone said that to me directly, but I remember being in a work environment where I felt the tension. You know, it was more of those kind of covertly. I felt the tension of, well, you know, we can't elect this black man as, you know, as the president of the United States. And I remember having a coworker who I still consider a friend, that he's a Republican, but he said he couldn't bring himself to vote against the first black president and but he's a Republican, but he said he just didn't vote for a president at all. And that was his decision. He voted for everything else on the ballot, except he just skipped the president because he didn't want to vote against the first black president.
That's actually a little bit cool story.
So it was
like,
it
I'm
was
a Republican. I wish the first black president had been Republican, is what he was saying.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to vote. That's really interesting.
And the next day, he emailed another coworker, myself and another coworker who was another black woman, and he said, it was a very moving email, and he said, you know, he just was, well, basically kind of congratulated us and said, I can only imagine how you must feel, or this, you know, this must feel for you. So he was very empathetic and acknowledged how that must feel as a black person to have a, you know, to have a black president in America. And he was very supportive of that, very emotionally and kind of in tune with what it meant. But his politics were different, but
sure.
But he was very in tune to, so that I did have that experience.
I can't imagine somebody having that same experience with the first woman president. I mean, are you seeing... So a coworker who was from the opposite party was all, I don't want to vote against this momentous moment. But when Hillary Clinton's running, you've got a family member saying, I'm for the first time not going to vote with my party because women just can't do this.
Yeah.
That is...
Yeah.
I didn't think about it unexpected. That way. It's really unexpected.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it that way.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if you have your own experiences with the difference in this year's campaign, 816-931-5534, we are going to take a quick station break, and we'll be back very shortly. So go ahead and call if you want to join the conversation.
The 2016 Fall Band Auction is coming on November 18th, 19th, and 20th. This is your chance to support community radio and have a great band or solo artist to perform at your event. Here is how it works. Bands perform live or play recordings for 30 minutes on KKFI. You call in your bid for the artists. You win a two-hour performance sometime in the next year. KKFI connects you with the artist, and you work out a schedule that makes sense for everyone. The band entertains you and yours, and you smile yourself to sleep. It's just that easy. The artist roster and pre-bidding information can be found at kkfi.org/bandauction.
Donate that unwanted car, boat, truck, or motorcycle to KKFI and get a tax deduction for your donation? Find out more by calling 866-628-2277.
Tune in to 90.1 FM for election night coverage like only Democracy Now! Can bring you. That's 6 to 11 p.m. Tuesday night.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
The 2016 Fall Band Auction is coming on November 18th, 19th, and 20th. This is a call to the talented musicians in the area. Would you like to support KKFI and play live for 30 minutes on your 100,000-watt community radio station? The 2016 Fall Band Auction is your way to do just that. All information at kkfi.org/bandauction. But here is the overview. Artists perform live or play recordings for 30 minutes on air. Donors call in and bid on a two-hour performance from your band sometime in the following year. Just call the station and ask for Bill or go to kkfi.org/bandauction for all the information to submit.
And we are back. We are talking about the upcoming election, our thoughts and feelings and kind of what's going on all the way around. Opening up the phone lines to you, Kansas City. Give us a call, 816-931-5534, 816-931-5534, and voice your vote on Every Woman Show.
You know what kind of cracks me up is that previous times when we've done this call-in type of show, when there's something major coming up, the calls are just off the hook. The phone won't stop ringing. And today, maybe that exhaustion is showing through with everybody, or maybe it's just a very nice day out. But it's kind of cracking me up that previously this has been the kind of topics that you really are ready to just speak your mind and announce it to the whole world. And today, maybe you're just out there going, I'm kind of done with this.
Yeah. Over it. Yeah.
I mean, and I've seen arguments within families and things that really cut deep. I mean, when Donald Trump made comments objectifying women and basically condoning assault on women, a lot of women said, no, that was too much. That was too far. And then the men in their lives didn't see what the big deal was. And I'm seeing, I've been talking to people who are more taking things personally than in a lot of elections that I've seen previously.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is personal.
It is.
These things are personal.
It is. That's why, what do they say at work or at a dinner party or something? Two things you don't talk about, politics and religion. And I mean, they're two of the very most personal things that many of us grapple and deal with and vote with, you know, come election day. And just as we were talking about in my own family, and you raise a very good question, you know. So are you saying that I, someone like me, couldn't be the president because I'm a woman, because that's what, you know, what you believe religiously? But it is very, it brought up some conversations in our, with other family members and other people, that how ingrained that is. And even just with the article with Pope Francis, you know, and the journalist is like, never, you know, like ever. And he's like, that's what the, you know, that's what St. John Paul the 16th said, and we should keep in line with that. And some people just...
Why is it such a hard hurdle? Why is it such a hard hurdle for women to have full equality in public discourse? Because what Pope Francis said, that's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's women being the leaders in the community.
Right.
On that smaller scale. Why is this such a hurdle?
You know, I feel like, not that it can't be changed, because I did used to believe that religiously, but I believed it just because I just accepted it as a child. Like, this is what God said, and I just needed to follow, you know, what God said, because God forbid I disagree with God, in a way, you know. And it wasn't until I had like a change of just of heart and mind and an awakening, if you will, that, well, maybe that isn't necessarily what God said. Maybe that's what some people said to make it seem, you know, to make it seem that way, because it sure does benefit some and not others, you know. So it's something interesting, and I think these past couple of elections have brought up some of our deeply ingrained beliefs, and we're voting on them now. And we do have a caller on the air. Caller, please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Imani calling in. I just wanted to make a couple comments. I got a chance to speak with, well, I've been talking to a lot of people, just trying to air out, you know, how people are really feeling about this. And I spoke with a young woman who, this is her first time voting, and her comment was, I can't believe that for my first time voting, these are my choices. And she started crying. And I think that a lot of people are feeling that way, and it's not that they don't want to vote for a woman, they don't want to vote for that woman. And it really kind of pains me to think that we haven't gotten past the point of voting for someone based on their gender or race. You know, if someone wants to vote for Hillary, I want to see them vote for her based on them being an informed citizen. They've looked at her record. They looked at the things that she's done in the past and the very near present, and, you know, base their decision on that. You know, it seems though a lot of people are not voting for Hillary as they are voting against Trump. And, you know, just it also bothers me that people aren't really looking at the facts, because people don't remember that Hillary was a Goldwater girl. And her comment was that I'm changing my party affiliation because the Republican Party is never going to nominate and support a woman for president. And she didn't change it, you know, based on ideology or anything like that. And I think a lot of the Bernie supporters feel really, pardon the pun, burned. Because,
you know, they felt the burn.
Yeah, really did. But he was used to garner the support of people that were maybe involved in Occupy Wall Street or were thinking along those lines, and just rally those people to throw their support behind Hillary. And it's kind of a bait and switch kind of thing, because if he's really, you know, part of the Democratic machine, he's a party person. You know, it's not about, you know, him as an individual or his ideals as an individual. He wants the party to win. And my last comment is that, you know, I think this really boils down to whether the candidate is for Wall Street or Main Street. And looking at Hillary's record and looking at Donald Trump's background, I think a lot of people don't see them as being for Main Street.
Well, I do have a question, though, for you. Do you feel that it's equivalent, though? The things that Donald Trump has done and is doing, do you feel that it is actually equivalent to what Hillary Clinton is or is not saying she'll do?
It's not equivalent, and the reason for that is that the ad hominem attacks that he makes may or may not relate to policy, but Hillary's experience and what she's demonstrated in the things that she's done in the past actually do pan out to policy. You know, I don't really want to vote anymore on, you know, identity politics. You know, I'm not voting for someone, you know, because they're a woman or because they're black or, you know, because they're right-wing, from a right-wing culture or a religious culture. I want to vote for someone who has the same ideals that I do. And the things that, you know, Donald Trump is saying, you know, about the groping and all those type of comments, my voting is going to be based strictly on economics, what I think the economic impact that candidate is going to have once they get in office. That's what really is critical to me.
I like that. I think a lot of people are tired of identity politics when you say that. I think it is exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not necessary in this day and age. To me, it devalues the candidate to say that you're voting for somebody just because they're black. Is that the only qualification they have? Mm-hmm. And usually people don't qualify their statements when they say that. You know, someone asked me, don't you want to vote for the first woman president? No, I want to vote for the best qualified candidate, and I don't feel as though we have one running.
So do you want to share how you're going to resolve this yourself?
I don't think that's an appropriate question to ask people. Yeah, I don't think that's an appropriate question to ask people. I think if people volunteer that information, that's one thing. But I don't think it's appropriate to ask people that.
Well, you don't have to answer.
I don't. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in and stating your opinions and your thoughts on the election. Feel free, everyone in Kansas City that's listening, to call in and do the same. 816-931-5534.
And I will say, I will ask you if you have, if you would like to share how you're deciding this, because that is an appropriate question to ask that. And it is appropriate to say, no, you don't want to share, but it is still an appropriate question to ask.
You know, this election, just the last caller, you made me think about being tired of identity politics and voting on people's ideas. And now I feel like two things have come to the forefront for me with the excitement of a potential possible woman for president, but also the ideas, just as we were talking earlier about Jill Stein and the Green Party, that's kind of made me think some different ways. But we do have a caller on the caller. Please say your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Camille, and I'm calling from Wyandotte County.
Hi, Camille.
Yes, hello. I wanted to make the comment that if anyone is considering not voting for Hillary, then you have drank the Kool-Aid. You have listened to all of the derogatory, made-up propaganda that the Republicans have fed to the people, and that people have very short historical memories. If you think that Hillary has been beat up upon because of what the Republicans have said about her, this, that, and the other, they do not want, the Republicans do not want Hillary in office because, one, she's a woman. Two, she's been working for the past 30 years to help women and children. And if you're voting for somebody else because you think they're going to do something for you economically to be advanced or to be successful in this capitalist society, if you're a person of color, the economic factor is very important because it's the economics that have kept people of color, you know, down and kept us from progressing like we should and advancing. It's because of the way the economic system is set up. So please, I'm just saying to people, you know what you lived in just the most recent history if you're over 50. And if you're under 50, just look at the facts. You remember what has happened in your lifetime. Don't get things misinterpreted and don't be miseducated by what you hear on the radio and what you see on television. Go with what you know. And Hillary is going to be the person that I'm putting my money on to help us, everybody across the board, do better. There's no other way. I won't even say his name because he's been a ridiculous idiot. And if no one can just see that, then you just don't even have reasonable, logical, good common sense. That's my comment.
I really like that comment. And I also liked what you were talking about, you know, specifically in black voters. I just want to ask, how are you feeling about the end of Obama?
How do I feel about what about President Obama?
The end of the Obama presidency.
Well, I say that the first time around, with President Obama, I will admit I did not vote for President Obama the first time around, but I did the second time around. And I don't believe anybody can be critical of President Obama now, because if you did not help him progress your agenda, then you can't really complain. If you're someone who did not call your own local legislator on the phone and tell him, look, President Obama's trying to pass the Affordable Health Care Act, and you need to get out of his way, or you need to help him do it. If you did not send a letter to President Obama, to the White House, to say, I like what you're doing, but you need to do this, and this is how I can help. If you weren't active in trying to help him help you, then you can't be critical of President Obama.
I really like everything you've said about encouraging people to be engaged, encouraging people to actually look at what the consequences of a vote is at this late hour. I think Ebony and I, we're trying not to make endorsements, I will say that,
yeah,
because of this is more of an open forum. But having said that, we are a feminist program. And I like that social responsibility aspect of it. Although I do appreciate a lot of the comments that we've heard today.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for calling in and participating.
Thank you.
All right, and thanks for having this program.
All right, take care. Yeah.
You know, Amy, it just kind of even a couple of the comments and some things that we've said as well, it's sometimes we kind of get caught up in the either or. And it can be both and. And it does matter how you feel about me as a woman. That's a part of who I am. And economics, that's also a part of who I am. And kind of, you know, you bring that up sometimes on the show as well, the intersectional feminism and, you know, and different things. It's like, well, you can't make me choose one over the other if I'm both, or if I'm, mm-hmm. you know, if these things, it does matter. Like, just to say, well, it doesn't matter if this person has said this, you need to vote this way, or, you know, to each their own on, you know, on how we feel. But it does matter how someone that I choose for leadership views someone that is like me, not just on one front, but on different fronts as well, you know?
Yeah, I mean, how do you separate representative politics from identity politics? How can someone represent you who does not identify with people like you?
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like it's unrealistic to say that we really can. Like, it's, you know, it's, I mean, maybe we tolerate it, or maybe, you know, just kind of, as I mentioned before, my family member that just feels religiously so he cannot vote for a woman. I honestly don't believe he's thinking of that about me personally. I think he doesn't even see it that way. Like, he doesn't think he's making a derogatory statement towards me as a woman as much as that's what he's saying. Well, this is just what I believe. You know, these are just my beliefs. I'm not saying it to demean you, but
it's just the natural order of things.
Yeah. But definitely, I believe that obviously probably would feel different. You have to feel a different way if someone says, you know, says something about a part of you that is just a fact of your life, of who you are, and says that because you're this thing, it disqualifies you. So, you know.
Well, we're just kind of trying to have a discussion about what on earth is going on with the election right now. Do you want to join? I'm just pulling you in right off of the street here.
Yeah, my name is Barry Jackson. And for those of you that don't know, I have a radio program that I do on Tuesday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon, the Tuesday Midday Medley. I just play music, but I've tried my hand at talk radio before.
Yeah.
And a lot of what's going on right now is a lot like that the radio show that I used to do with call-ins and what have you. It's mm-hmm. This thing with the presidential election, a lot of it, you know, it's just wild.
Wild.
This is probably, mm-hmm. now.
It's different.
It's extremely different. I mean, yeah. You know, I don't mind telling my age. I'm 62, which means I was born during the time Eisenhower was president. Now, I didn't really start paying attention to politics until Kennedy ran against Nixon. You know, seeing that, you know, witnessing that, and I never got to watch cartoons. I had to watch the news with my dad. So. But, you know,
my kid's going to be saying the same thing.
You know, LBJ and Goldwater and all of them up till now. I mean, this, you know, even up to Obama Romney. I mean, it seemed relatively civil. What's going on now? You've got a candidate that wants to attribute all of his bad personality traits onto his opponent, whoever his opponent, from the time, you know, from the time of the primaries up until, you know, how do you sit up and make racist comments at your rallies and then turn around and call Hillary Clinton a bigot?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, we do have a caller on the air here. Caller, could you state your name and where you're calling from?
Sure. Daniel Bradley, I'm not sure where I'm at, 83rd Street, and going to Overland Park, I think.
Thanks for calling.
I was driving around listening to you guys talk about economic impact of votes, and, you know, give you a little background. I am a certified public accountant and a certified management accountant, which means I'm one of maybe the top 15,000 accounting, finance, economics professionals on the planet. And I was just confused about some of the comments that have been made so far. And I was wonder if there is any questions I could help answer. For instance, you know, when you talk about Hillary Clinton's policies of raising taxes on wealthy corporations, for example, you know, a lot of people, including minorities, work for corporations. And so you have a political environment now where everybody wants to raise taxes on them and pass regulations that cost them more money. So I'm confused about how you take more money from job creators in the form of taxes or regulations and simultaneously expect them to be able to pay their employees more.
Well,
I don't know how that happens.
I guess I wonder, like, if you're getting into the details of the tax policy, I mean, are we talking really about raising...
Which should be what we do, right?
Right, but are we talking about raising taxes, or are we talking about taking away some of the tax welfare benefits to corporate entities? Because we do an awful lot of spending through our tax program, and a lot of that comes in... It comes in the favor of people.
Are you calling letting companies keep their own money spending?
Yeah, I
just want to be clear.
Yeah, no, that definitely can be considered spending.
The money the corporations earn is the government's or the corporations?
No, the money that they
the government
the money that they the money that they earn is part of their taxable income base, and they have a tax rate. That we all have. We all have tax rates, and we all owe a certain amount of money to the government for our basic infrastructure needs and to help keep our society running smoothly. And we pick and choose as part of a social policy, as part of our social policy implementation, to give support back to certain taxpayers, whether they be individuals or corporate entities, through giving them a pass on certain amounts of what they owe in taxes. And yeah, so I think we do use our tax system to provide a kind of social safety net to not only individuals, but to our corporate entities. So yeah, that would be where I would feel on that, on the nitty gritty parts of it.
Okay. So you understand that companies, just like people, respond to incentives. And so if you're going to raise the cost of doing business and raise the taxes to do business in the United States, it's going to incentivize them to leave.
It's going to incentivize them to leave. So you consider it...
Which is why all the manufacturing is going to Mexico right now, because it's simply cheaper and more economical for the companies to do business there.
In other words, they'll go someplace where they feel like, well, these people don't need that much in wages in order to be able to survive, so we'll go there and exploit those workers as opposed to the people who live here in this country who know exactly what it costs to live here, and paying a decent wage to people so that they don't have to turn around and go and ask for public assistance while and work at the same time.
And then we complain about
our tax money going for the public assistance those workers are going to ask for, because the wages that they earn on their job are not enough to support them and their families.
But what is the incentive for them to stay in an environment where the taxes that they pay go up and the cost of regulations are going up?
Well,
it's incentivizing them to locate overseas, and that's exactly what happened.
Well, now, I mean, I think you are
like
making
15 automotive manufacturing plants that have either located into Mexico in the last couple of years or are going to open up in Mexico in the last couple of years. And it's not that they want to exploit those workers. It's that the American federal government has incentivized them to not create those manufacturing jobs here in America.
Well, thank you for calling in. We actually have the phones are now ringing off the hook. So I will move on to our next caller, but thank you very much.
I'm one of the top 15,000 economic, accounting, and finance professionals on the planet. I'll listen to the callers. I can't wait.
Well, thanks for calling. All right, caller, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Jack calling back from Shawnee.
Hi, Jack.
How you doing?
Good. What's your comment?
I'd say I'd totally disagree with that last caller. As far as I'm concerned, if the corporations want to go, let them go. I don't think they will. They benefit from our infrastructure. They benefit from our legal system. And I think it's time to tax the rich and tax them heavily. Tax corporations, tax the banks, put a Wall Street tax. There's plenty of wealth, billions and trillions of wealth. And that wealth is concentrated in the hands of very few people. Those people need tax. If they won't leave the United States, let them go. But tax them.
Well, yeah.
Thank you for calling back.
Yeah,
you know, there was a report that came out, whenever that report came out, that 50% of the world's wealth is held by 1% of the world's population. And so to say that the way we're doing it now, you know, you kind of have to look at that. I don't think that's by accident. To say that, oh, it's because we're taxing people too much, when we know by fact that there are also laws that people get out of paying those taxes too, and different things. So it's actually not happening.
Yeah, like one of even our presidents, one of our presidential candidates has gotten away with it.
Well, that's just because he's so smart.
He said it in a debate. Oh, yeah. He said, well, I took advantage of a law that was there. I mean, he actually said it in the debate. So it's like, the truth of the matter is, while something is on paper, as any of us knows, it's not what's on paper, it's what's actually happening.
Yeah.
And what's actually happening isn't that all of these people are just being taxed to death. That's not actually going on.
Well, and there's other incentives besides tax incentives. There's market incentives that come from supply and demand chains and things like that.
Well, where do these subsidies fit in, you know, that these corporations get while they're trying to get out of paying taxes?
And you're not a corporation by yourself. Okay, sorry.
We do have another caller on the line. And caller, could you state your name and where you're calling from?
Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, how are you today?
And what would you like to share with us today, Tim?
I don't know. Everything we say, I guess everything we say in a postmodern sense is out there forever. But given that, one word that hasn't really been mentioned today, which I think a lot of people feel, is betrayal. And that element, like in the fact that, not to give Amy Goodman, like, turn her into a saint, but I remember when Bernie was first on her program, and that whole evolution happened very quickly to where he was a voice, and then all of a sudden he's gone. The coverage of Standing Rock, there was no coverage of that, and then all of a sudden, you know, that issue might be gone. All the important issues seem to be put out there. And then the focus of the people that are supposed to serve us is gone. It's kind of like lip service.
Well, Amy Goodman did represent the people very well with Standing Rock. I will say that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you heard about that too, Tim.
Yeah. And I'm hoping, and she's not the only voice, but
sure.
I just feel like the real, I'm very Noam Chomsky about this, that we are in a very much manufactured consent world, and all of our focus taken to other things means that all of the people who are involved in taking that focus away are guilty of betraying us.
You know, the other thing, too, I mean, you know, what you bring up an important point. I'm just watching Real Time with Bill Maher last night. And while he wasn't talking about this in particular, he did mention the fact, he talked about the news coverage that we get. And, of course, during this election season, while Standing Rock is going on, most of the coverage is centered around the craziness of this presidential campaign. You know, and you also have to bear in mind, you know, when you rail against the coverage, you're also railing against the advertisers who are driving the coverage we get.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and if we're talking about Standing Rock, can we mention right now that the Malheur terrorists were acquitted of all charges?
Okay.
The Bundys over the
the bird sanctuary.
White people can be terrorists.
Sure.
I mean, to me, that's what we learned this year, is that white people can be terrorists.
Yeah. They can protest with arms. And threaten to shoot people, and you know. But if you're protesting peacefully without any arms, you know, you're considered a terrorist.
Well, Well, Tim,
there are many discussions which are, I mean, the way black lives, the value that's placed on black skin versus white skin. I mean, all of these very conceptual level discussions, which we are ushered away from. And the role of the president should be, and Obama has a chance for this now, should be to enlighten people and point them in the direction of really thoughtful discussion. Maybe he could just in these last little hours do a little bit of that.
Well, Tim, thanks for your call. I think you left us with some very good thoughts today. We need to remind you right now to stay tuned for Urban Connections with Donna Wolf and guess who's coming to Kansas City with MC Richardson. And thanks for Barry Jackson for stepping in to just join the conversation here and Ebony Johnson. And tune in next week to Every Woman. And go vote.
Yeah.
Even if you don't think we'll like how you vote, you just go do it anyway, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.